Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Vav and Beis about 12, 13 lines from the end of the page. Last words on the line are Amar Rava, and those are the words that we are up to. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, and also by Rabbi Bruckheimer in loving memory of his wife, Hindel Bas Al Yaakov HaKohen, Zichrona Livracha, and Sham Shem and Aliyah, and in honor of his real Bar Mitzvah anniversary, which is Adar Sheni. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are going to discuss today. First of all, Rava's going to tell us the bottom line Piskei Halacha about a number of the different sugyas that we've been discussing, particularly when it comes to buying stolen fields. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if someone buys from a gazlan and then that very gazlan goes and buys the field from the nigzal, from the original owner. So now can the gazlan go to the person he sold the field to and say, look, that was a stolen field, you got to give it back to me because I'm the rightful owner. What do you mean? I bought it from you. Yeah, but at the time you bought it from me, I had stolen it. Now I'm in place of the original owner who had every right to confiscate it from you. So I too am going to confiscate it from you. Or do we say, no, the reason he obviously bought it from the Nigzal was so that he can keep his Lokeach happy, that the Lokeach would be able to stay in the field. So the Gemara is going to have two different ways of formulating why it is that the Gazlan may not confiscate that field from the Lokeach, and the Gemara is going to have three nafkaminas between the two different ways of formulating why it is that he cannot confiscate that field. Then the Gemara is going to give exceptions to that rule, cases where the Gazlan, in fact, can confiscate that field from the Lokeach, and we're going to discuss different ways that the Gazlan may have acquired that field. Meaning, the first discussion is about if he goes and he buys the field from the Nigzal. What if he yarshins the field from the Nigzal? The Nigzal happened to have been his father. What if he gets the field as a matana from the Nigzal? What if he gets the field in other ways from the Nigzal? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, well, how could it be that the Lokeach gets to keep that field? Where's the Kinyan? At the time that he purchased the field, it was a stolen field. So that wasn't a valid Kinyan. And then what? Just because the Gazlan goes and pays for it, where's the Kinyan to the Lokeach that the Lokeach is going to be able to keep such a field? So essentially, Amud Aleph is going to be all about that. It's going to be all about the concept of a Gazlan who then acquires the field after he had already sold it to somebody else, whether he about his ability to confiscate that field. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether you can sell a field that you don't yet own, meaning the basic concept of Davar Shalom Beliolam. I know that I'm going to own it, it's going to be coming to me, so can I sell it already right now? In what circumstances would we assume that such a Kinyan would be Chal? Then in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to start talking about, we spoke already about, what if you find a Shtar Chov on the street? Who do you return it to? The Lova, the Malva, nobody, right? So now we're going to talk about, what if you find other types of shtaros in the street? Do you return other types of shtaros? So let's begin again about 13 lines from the end of the page. Last words on line are Amar Rava on Daf Tesvav Ambe. So Amar Rava Hilchasa, as a matter of halacha, if a person buys a field from someone and it turns out that that field was stolen, and then the Nigzal comes and confiscates the field, so the Lokeach goes back to the guy he bought the field from, to the Gazlan, and he says, hey, you gotta reimburse me for the money and reimburse me for whatever improvement there was in the field. Yesh lo ma'os v'yesh lo shevach. He's entitled to both. He can collect from the mocher the original money that he paid for the karka, and also the shevach that the karka had. And that's true, even though the mocher never told the lokeach at the time of the sale that if they take this field away from you, I will reimburse you for the shevach as well. He didn't have to say it. It's understood. Rashi explains that this is against Shmuel. Shmuel said on Yadal Ramad Aleph that you only pay the shevach if he was kibel alav, if he accepted in advance that he's going to be responsible for that. So Rav is paskening not that way, that even if he's not kibel alav, you still have to pay for the shevach. Hikir b'shein shalo. What if a person buys a field from someone and he knew the whole time that it was a stolen field? Ulekacha, he bought it anyway. So mos yesh lo shevach eino. In such a case, he gets reimbursed for the money he paid for that field, but he does not get reimbursed for the shevach that was made to the field. So that is psak number two of Rav. Psak number 3 of Rava goes back to a sugya of the sofer, right? The sugya on Yudalit Amud Aleph, that if the sofer forgot and he didn't write the achrayus in the shtar, he didn't write achrayus nechasim in the shtar, so there is no shibud nechasim that is explicit in the shtar. Achrayus tells the sofer, who we assume that that's just the sofer's error, but there is shibud nechasim, there is achrayus in the shtar, and that's true. Bein b'shtari alva'a, bein b'shtari mekach u'memkar, both by a loan document and by a shtar mecher, where someone is selling a karka to somebody else, we assume that achrayus is meant to be in that shtar. Meaning, we do not paskin like Shmuel, who holds that the sofer's job is to ask the mocher before he writes the shtar whether he should write achrayus in the shtar, because there are those that do not give achrayus on a mekach, and we assume that, so according to that, we would assume that achrayus is not to the sofer, that really in the shtar mekach, it really depends on whether you got the go-ahead to write the achrayus. We do not assume that way. We assume that if there's no achrayus in the shtar, it's a total sofer. It must have been a mistake. Of course there's meant to be achrayus in the shtar, even by a shtar mecher. The Ramban writes that yesh misha mishabesh, there are some people that make the mistake and think that the din of achrayus to sofer is only where someone had said, write for the mishtar, kisvelo as a shtar. But if you didn't write a shtar, then you don't say achrayus tol sofer, even though the Gemara in Maseches Babasra says that someone who sells a field with edim is govim in chasim shubadim, that's only if the mochel is mekabel achrayus beferush. But if he doesn't write a shtar, and he's not mekabel beferush, he's not mekabel achrayus beferush, then there's no shibun chasim. So the Ramban says that is an error. I disagree with that, and the Ramban holds that even if you didn't tell them to write a shtar, there's still achrayus. Even if you were not mekabel beferush, because when a person sells land, there's always a kol, and the kol is what generates the shibun chasim. The fact that everybody knows that there was a sale of land over here, that's generally what generates the shibun chasim. So that is the Ramban's chiddush. So now the Gemara says, "Boy mine Shmuel me Rav." Shmuel asks the following shayla to Rav: "Chazul l'kachu mibayil marishonim mahu?" So a guy steals a field, he sells it to somebody else, and then after he sells it to somebody else, he goes back to the nigzal and pays for the field and buys the field from the nigzal. So what's the din? Does that gazlan now have the right to go to the fellow who bought the field from him and say, "I'm confiscating this field"? Just like the nigzal would have been allowed to confiscate the field, I purchased the field from the nigzal. Or do we say that no? Obviously, when you purchased the field from the nigzal, it was only to keep me happy as a lokeach, that I'll be able to keep the field, to be able to stand by your sale. So Amalei, Rav said the gazlan is not allowed to confiscate the field. Why? Because ma machalo rishon l'sheni, what was the gazlan selling the lokeach in the first place? Calls chush atav liyado, any rights he will ever have in this field. So when the gazlan got money from the lokeach for this field, he was selling him any future rights that he might have in this field. Right now he has no rights in the field because it's a stolen field. But later on he pays for it. So any future rights he's going to have in the field, that's what he's selling to him. The Ritva raises the question: how could you say ma machorich rishon l'sheni? As far at the time of the mekach, the gazlan was selling the field, he was trying to be makna him any future rights. A person can't be makna davar shalom b'liolam, and you can't say, "Oh no, the whole sugi is going like shitas Reb Meir," because it's dochak to say that the entire sugi is shalom kalacha. We paskin not like Reb Meir, that Reb Meir holds on the makna davar shalom b'liolam, that you can sell something shalom b'liolam. We don't paskin that way. So this whole sugi is going like Reb Meir shalom kahalacha. So the Ritva suggests that really the sugi is even afilu, it's even lefi the rabbanan, and the lashon of mamach is really lav dafka. What it means to say is that the das of the gazlan at the time that he buys the field from the original owner, from the nigzal, is to buy it on behalf of the lokeach. So it doesn't go back to that original point of mechira when the gazlan sold the field to the lokeach. No, it's now when the gazlan's going and buying the field from the nigzal, he's having das that he's buying it on behalf of the lokeach. That's how the Ritva learns the sugya. So my time, I ask Gemara, what's the reason that we assume that that's the das of the gazlan, that he's not buying the karka for himself, he's only buying it from the nigzal for the lokeach? So two possibilities. Because the gazlan doesn't want that the person he sold the field to should call him a gazlan. If he doesn't go and buy this field, so the nigzal ultimately is going to take the field field away from the lokeach, and then the lokeach is going to have tainus that the gazlan is a gazlan. No one wants to be called the gazlan, even if you're a gazlan. You don't want to be called the gazlan. So Rav Ashi Amar that nichalei deleku b'mnusay. It's not about name calling. It's just that he wants to be trustworthy. He wants to be known as a trustworthy person, and he wants to live up to his word. So the gazlan wants to acquire this field for the lokeach, so that the lokeach will continue to trust him for future business dealings. So Maibinai, what's the nafkamina between these two answers, whether it's about name calling of being a gazlan or whether it's about being a trustworthy person? So the Gemara is going to suggest three possible nafkaminas. It rejects the first two. Ikabinai, the first possible nafkamina is demis lokeach. What if the lokeach died after the gazlan purchased the field from the bailim, and now the gazlan wants to take the karka away from the lokeach's yorshim, from the children of the lokeach? According to Mazutra, that says that he just doesn't want to be called a gazlan hamisle. Well, the lokeach is dead. He's not going to call him a gazlan anymore, so no such concern. And therefore, he's able to confiscate it. But if it's about wanting to do the right thing and wanting to be a trustworthy person, he's going to want to do business with the children in the future also, and he's going to want to be known as a trustworthy person as far as they're concerned as well. And therefore, he's not allowed to confiscate the field. So, Kokar le b'nei lokeach gazlan, says the Gemara, nah, it's not really good enough gemina. Because what are you saying? That if the concern is that he's going to be called a gazlan, there's no such concern anymore because the lokeach is dead. Yeah, but his children will call you a gazlan if you go and you confiscate that field. So it's still a concern. So, Ella ika b'naiway, second possible nafkamina, not that the lokeach died, but rather to miss gazlan, that the gazlan himself died after he had purchased the field from the nigzal, and now his children want to confiscate that field from the lokeach. So, according to the opinion that the whole concern is that he shouldn't be called a gazlan hamisle, he has no such concerns anymore because he is dead. People don't call dead people a gazlan. He doesn't, and he's not worried about it. People do call him a gazlan because he's no longer here. So certainly he's not buying the field on behalf of the lokeach, and the yorshe gazlan get to keep that field. But according to Rav Ashi, who holds that the gazlan purchased the field because he wants to be considered a trustworthy person, even when he's dead, he still wants to be known that as certainly at the time when he purchased the karka, he wanted to be known as a trustworthy person, even la chamisa. So he doesn't want anyone to ever take this field away from the lokeach, even after he dies. He wants on his tombstone to say, here lies a trustworthy person, an ish ne'eman. So that's the way he's always going to want to be known. So says Mar Sosof Karu le b'nei gazlana. So what are we saying? That he's not worried about being called a gazlan because he's dead. No, but he should still be worried because his children are going to be called b'nei gazlana. They're going to be called the children of a gazlan. And that's not kishmak either, that his children are going to walk around with that tag their entire life. So Eli Ikeberayu, the third nafkamina is diyav b'matana, that the gazlan gave the karka b'matana to a mekabel, and it wasn't mekach memkar. There wasn't a lokeach. It's not that the gazlan sold the field and then went and bought the field from the nigzal. No, it's that the gazlan gave the field as a matana and then went and bought the field from the nigzal. So if you say like Rav Ashi that he just wants to be someone who's a trustworthy person, so matana nami nichle lechem b'mnusay. If you give him matana, it's embarrassing. You don't want that taken away from the other party. It's going to look like you're not going to be a trustworthy person. But according to Marzutra, who holds that the reason is that you're kone the karka for the lokeach is so that no one will call you a gazlan. No one's going to call you a gazlan. Amalei, my gazil naminach. He'll say, what did I steal from you? You never gave me any money for this karka. No, whatever you had, it was just a gift that you had for whatever time you had, and now it gets taken away, so you don't have it. But there was never any, you never gave up anything for this, so you can't call me a gazlan. And therefore, he's no concern about being called a gazlan when he was originally only no sane matana. Okay, so now the Gemara explains, what if the gazlan got the karka, gained ownership of the karka, but in other ways, right? So first the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious that if before the gazlan purchased the field from the Bailim, Zabna, Orta, Viyava B'matana. First of all, it's obvious that if he went and he sold it to another person, I mean, not only did he steal the field and sell it to a lokeach, he then, before purchasing it, sold it to another guy. He keeps selling the Brooklyn Bridge. He keeps going around selling the same field that he does not own. Or he died and he yarshened it to his children. Or he gave it as a matana to somebody else. And then he goes and he buys it from the nigzal. Lav lukum akame lokeach kabayim. Then we know that when he's buying it from the nigzal, his intention is not to make sure that the lokeach gets to keep the field. Which lokeach? He's already sold it to several people. So obviously he's doing that for himself. His intention is not that the lokeach should be able to keep the field. And similarly, nafle birusha, now we talk about not what who else he has given it to, but what if he received it not by buying it from the nigzal, but rather by getting it from as yerusha from the nigzal. Meaning one detail that changes. When he stole that field, he didn't just steal anybody's field. He stole his father's field, and then he went and he sold it. And now his father dies. He yarshins his father. So is that the same as buying the field, where we assume he's buying it on behalf of the lokeach that he had sold it to? So Yerusha Melihi, Velaviyu Katar Chabasra. No, Yerusha is something that happens automatically. It's not something a person works toward. So we don't assume that he's buying it on behalf of the lokeach. We assume he's buying it on behalf of himself, and therefore he can go and he can confiscate it from the lokeach. Gavi ihu, if the gazan collects the karka from the nigzal bichovo, as a payment for a chov, meaning that there's another way of the gazlan acquiring the field. So we started with the case of the gazlan, after he sells the field, goes to the nigzal and purchases the field from him. Then we said, okay, in that case, he's just buying it for the lokeach, so the lokeach gets to keep it. Because Nichle Bimnuse, so it shouldn't be called the God, whatever the reason is, right? But he's buying it for the Lokech. Then we said, okay, but what if he yarshins it? No, if he yarshins it, he's clearly not buying it for the Lokech. If he yarshins it, that's for him. He's allowed to keep it, and he's going to be able to confiscate it from the Lokech. What if neither of those things happen? He collects it as a payment for another chov that the nigzal owes him. The nigzal owes him money, so he says, oh, you know that field that I stole from you? That will be the payment for the chov that you owe me. So now, do we assume that when he's collecting that as his chov, he's doing so that the lokeach will be able to keep the field? Or he's doing it so that he'll be able to keep the field and he'll go take it from the lokeach? So gavi iu b'chov chazina, if the nigzal had other karkos that he could have collected as his chov, v'amar hai b'inan, he says, no, I want this one. So look, Makami Lokeach Kabay, why does he want this one? Because he wants to keep his Lokeach happy, and he wants to keep the Lokeach in the field. But if the other guy didn't have any other fields, and this was the only option, Zuzi had to buy a Pruy. He just wanted to get paid back. So there was no intention of making sure that the Lokeach gets to keep it, and therefore he will be able to confiscate it from the Lokeach. Now, a fourth case. Yeah, right? We had the case where he purchased it from the original Nigzal. We have the case where he yarshined it from the original Nigzal, where he collected it as chov from the original nigzal, and now yavinale b'matana, the nigzal decides to give it to him as a present. They're such good friends. You know, I love you so much, even though you steal my fields all the time, I'm going to give you one of the fields you stole from me as a matana. So he gives him as a matana. So then, pligibar avach ravina, whether the gazlan is allowed to confiscate that field from the lokech after receiving it as a matana is a machlokas between ravach and ravina. Chalam matana kirusha tam memelum. One says, well, that's very similar to Yerusha. He put no effort into being able to get it, and therefore there's no assumption that he wants the lokech to be able to keep it, so he's allowed to confiscate it from the lokech. V'chalam matana kemecher. No. Matana is much more like a sale. It's an interesting psychological insight into a matana. Di lav de tarach v'artzi kamei. It's a little more cynical view of a matana. Di lav de tarach v'artzi kamei lav yav le matana. That a matana is never given in a vacuum. There's a relationship, and there's something that he had done. There's a favor. There's something that was done for the other party. So every matana is really a mecher. It's an exchange for something. So why did I go out of my way to be nice to this guy and to, you know, be so nice to him that eventually he gave me a field as a matana? Oh, must be because I'm doing that so that my lokeach can keep the field, so that I can still be a trustworthy person. So we view that as something that a serious effort was made in order to ensure that the lokeach be able to keep to keep the field. Now it's interesting, the Gemara just says ki hechi delekim behimnuse. It doesn't say ki hechi delekre gazlana. So Tosfos points out this is a raya that we paskin like that daya, meaning we had two opinions as to why it is that the gazlan wants the lokech to be able to keep the field when he purchases it from the nigzal, either that he should be a trustworthy person or that people shouldn't call him a gazlan. And the Gemara just says, matter of factly over here, it's ki hechi delekim behimnuse. So this is a raya that Allah is like Ravashi, that it's about being making mimnuse, not like Marzutra. Tosfos also points out that anyway, the halacha is like Ravashi because he's the Basra'a, and the rule is Hilchasak Basra'a, that when you have different generations of Amoraim, the later generation is generally the one that we paskin like. Okay, so now we had said that if the Gazan goes and he buys the field, so since he's going out of his way to buy the field from the Nigzal, clearly he wants the Lokeach to be able to keep the field because he wants to remain a trustworthy person. Until when do we say that the tircha that he's going through and buying the field is a raya that he wants the lokeach to be able to keep the field? I mean, at what point does that run out? Meaning, it's been years. Yeah, you've never really cared before. Now all of a sudden you care that the lokeach should be able to keep the field. So Amar Rav Huna, three opinions. Amar Rav Huna, Atshas Hamad B'din. Rav Huna's opinion is until the nigzal will be torei from the karka from the lokeach, and the lokeach will then go back to the gazlan to get his money back. So if they already had a Hamad B'din and the gazlan just hasn't paid back in order to be able to keep the lokeach happy, he's megaladas that he doesn't really care about his ne'amanus klapi the lokeach, and therefore, if he buys the field afterwards from the nigzal, he's buying it for himself. He's not buying it for the lokeach. Meaning, if they already had a whole din Torah and the basin already paskin, you need to reimburse the lokeach because the lokeach is getting the field taken away from him from the nigzal, and you ignore it. You haven't done anything yet. You haven't paid for it yet. So then we don't assume that you're trying to make the lokeach happy when you go and you buy the field. A second opinion, that even if they had Amad B'din and Beis Din already told the Gazan, you need to pay the Lokeach the money that he paid you for that stolen field. Still, if you go and buy it, you're doing it for the Lokeach. Admata adrachta liyadeh, until Beis Din gives the lokeach a shtar adrachta, which is a psak din that allows the lokeach to go into the gazlan's property and take whatever you can that corresponds to what he's owed. Wherever he could find the chasim that belonged to the gazlan, he's allowed to take it. At the time of the mesira, the adrachta, it's 90 days after the Hamad B'din. Beis Din doesn't go to such extent right away. There's Hamad B'din and they say, gazlan, please pay him back, and then we give him some time to gather the money, pay him back. 90 days later, he still hasn't paid it back. Now we give an adrachta, and now the lokeach is going to be able to go and confiscate whatever nechassim he can from the gazlan to get reimbursed. So it's only at that point of the mesiras adrachta that he's able to that we assume that the gazlan has no interest in helping the lokeach out. Rav Papa Amar Admasklan Yomi Achrasta, that until the days of achraza begin, meaning after the lokeach finds a karka of the gazlan that he wants to collect from, that he wants to use to get paid back, so Beis Din has to assess what's this field worth. Meaning we have to make sure that we know that it's worth the right amount of money that the lokeach is owed. So what they do is they start marketing. They start putting out advertisements, you know, that there's a field for sale, and they see what kinds of offers come in. And based on that, they'll be able to assess the value of the field. So it's only when Beis Din starts that process that we assume at that point the gazlan has given up any possible hope or desire of trying to make the lokeach happy. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Masmur Rami Bar Chama, Michti, Hailokeach b'may kani lahay ara. Let's go back to the simplest case, right? The simplest case was that a fellow steals a field, he sells it to somebody, and then he goes and he buys it from the nigzal. So he said, okay, he's buying it from the nigzal for the lokeach, and the lokeach therefore gets to keep this field. Where's the kinyan? But my kani lahayara, where was he kona this field? Bahai shtara, what, with the shtar of when he originally bought it from the gazlan? Hashtar chas b'yalmahu. At the time that shtar was written, he was buying a stolen field. It didn't belong to the guy that was selling it to him. So that shtar is a piece of garbage. So Amar Le Rava Tehei B'Ma'amino, that this din should be that he's kona from the kona says to the gazlan beferush that he trusts him that he's going to be ma'amido biyado, that he's going to allow him to, that he's going to enable him to keep this field. So bu ana de lo karmel midi, the hana that the kona didn't say anything to him, the kasamachale, and he relied on him, taruch ma'isle gamra makinle, the hana that he got from the fact that this lokeach was willing to rely on me, that I would come through for him. So with that Yara, no, I'm going to be Toreach, and I'm going to give him the karka. So at the time that he's koneh it from the nigzal, that's when he's makneh it to the lokeach. So it's not at the original point of purchase when the lokeach bought it from the gazlan. There was nothing to buy then; it was a stolen field. No, when the gazlan goes and buys it, he has in mind that he's buying it on behalf of the lokeach because he has such gratitude to the lokeach for trusting him in this transaction, unrightfully trusting him in this transaction, but for trusting him in this transaction. So Masr of Sheshes, says, well, we have a brisa, a Tosefta, that says that if a person says to his friend, "Mashi irish me abba machru lecha," you know, in advance of the hopes of getting Yerusha, that which I will yarshin from my father, I am hereby selling to you. Mashi talam tzedasi machru lecha. You know, I'm about to go fishing. I think it's going to be a good day. It was drizzling this morning. It's going to be a great day for fishing. I think that's a thing by fishing. It's a great day for fishing. So that which is going to come up in my fishing nets, I'm selling to you in advance. Lo maklum, such a sale is invalid. It's lo baliolam. You don't have any Yerusha yet. The father's still alive. You don't have any fish in your fish net. So mashi irish menaba hayom machulach. Mashi talmud zasi hayom machulach. But if he's more specific, he says that which I will yarshin today, that which I'll catch the fish I'm going to catch today, I'm going to sell to you dvar of kayamin. So let's leave that aside because that's problematic. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Why on earth would that be the case? Either way, it's still a davar shel lo baliolam. How does he have the right to sell it? But we're focusing on the resha, that you're not kona, even if you then yarshin it afterwards, even if the guy yarshins it afterwards. Well, if the guy trusted you, we should say that the mekach is going to be chal, because we said, tehim amino, that since he trusted him, so by yano, that you trusted me, I'm going to be makin it to you as soon as I am kona myself. So I'm Rambam Chama, hai gavra vati yufta. Rambam Chama says, wow, this kasha of Rav Sheshes, he's an Adam Gadol, and the tshuva that he has on Rav is a really great response, and I don't know what to do with that. So I'm a Rava. Rava responded, Gavra Kachazina, he's a great man, but you have to look Kachazina. But this cash is not the end of the world. It doesn't bother me so much. When you bought the stolen field, there the lokech had a smichas das in the mocher that he'll be able to ultimately make sure that he gets to keep that field. But if I'm buying something that you're going to yarshin from your father, I don't have any smichas das. Why? When I buy a stolen field from you, I have a smichas das that you're going to do whatever you can, that you shouldn't be called a gazlan, and you're going to make sure that I get to keep the field. Over here, the Gemara says dolenikri gazlana. He uses that as the stam, but not to be mekam b'emnusay. Okay, but hachalosam chadaite. But in the case where you're selling me your yerusha or fish you haven't yet caught, I have no smichas das because there's no guarantee that you're going to get that yerusha. Maybe the father of the mocher is going to give all of his yerusha away as a matana to somebody else. Meaning, before you get the Yerusha, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to give away all the Yerusha. But you can give away a lot of it, right? Some poskim say you should keep 51% to give as Yerusha, and you can give 49% to tzedakah. Other poskim say, no, as long as you give some reasonable, respectable amount for Yerusha, that you leave for Yerusha, you can give away the rest. So maybe your father is a big philanthropist, and he's going to give away 95% of his money for tzedakah, or give it as a matana to someone, and it's not going to be Yerusha. Or maybe you're not going to catch any fish today. I don't know how good you are at catching fish, so I don't have any smichus das that's going to happen. So Shalchul, Kamed Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, they sent this kasha of Rav Sheshes on Rav to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Lahu, Zo Enitzrich Lefnim. We don't even need to bring this kasha into the Beis Medrash, because it's such a strong kasha, no one's going to know how to answer it anyway. It's beyond the capabilities of the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash to answer such a stark kasha. So Amar Rav, Zo Tzrich Lefnim, V'lefnai V'lefnim. We need to bring them to the Beis Medrash because they will be able to answer it, because the answer is kind of obvious. Hacha sam chadaite, vacha lo sam chadaite. It all depends on whether there's smichas das or not. Havuvdu b'pamedisa, there was a story in Pamedisa where they did like Rav, and they said ma macha rishon l'sheni, and they allowed the lokech to keep the karka va'usvei, and they asked from this tosefta that after all, when you're selling your father's yerusha, the mechira is not going to be chal. There is no automatic ma'amino. Some of the Rav Yosef ezu ein etzricha lefnim. It doesn't even need to be brought into the yeshiva. No one's going to know how to answer such a kasha. V'amalei Abaye, Abaye said back to Rav Yosef, etzricha lefnim v'lefnai v'lefnim. lifnei lifnim. It should be not lifnei lifnim, right? Lifnei lifnim. Lifnei lifnim is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But lifnei lifnim. This needs further assessment by the Bnei Yeshiva, and they're going to know exactly how to answer it. Again, the same answer. Hachasam chadayte, hachalosam chadayte. It's a question of whether there is smichas das or not. So once we quoted that Tosefta, we never dealt with the inherent problem in the Tosefta, right? The Tosefta had said that if I tell you I'm selling you all of the Yerusha that I'm going to get and all the fish I'm going to get, the Mechir is not valid. But if I tell you in the morning all the Yerusha I'm going to get today, all the fish I'm going to catch today, then the Mechir is valid. Maishon Reisha, Maishon Seifa. Both of them are Loba Liolam. So why should it make any difference whether it's about today or it's about forever? So Rabbi Yochanan, Seifa Mashirish Me'aba Me'ayom Mishum Kvod Aviv. We allow such a sale to be binding, even though it should not be binding, because we're assuming that the father is dying and he doesn't have money to pay for a funeral and he needs to buy tachrich, he needs to take care of those things, so he's trying to get payment for an advance on the Yerusha. So Mishum Kvod Aviv, we allow such a thing to happen. The Rishonim point out is Lav Dafka Aviv. It could be any relative that he, it's any of the Mesim that he would want to pay for the funeral. So it's not a Din Kibud Av per se, it's a Din Kavod Ameis. The same is true with catching fish, Mishum Kedei Chayav. It must be that he's desperate, that he doesn't have enough food to feed his family today. So he says, give me an advance on what I'm going to catch the fish today. So we made a takana that such a sale should be binding so that he'll be able to feed his family. Not forever in the future, but at least for what I'm going to be able to catch today. That's a special takanas chachamim. So that din in the Sefer, the Tosefta, was really a special takanas chachamim, was not really the Ikar HaDin. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. So that was new sugya. Amar l'chaveru sada shani lokeach l'ksha echena knuya l'chame achshav. So kana, if I tell a guy, you know, a field that I will one day buy, when I buy it, it should now belong to you, and I'll never be able to back out on the sale. So kana, that chaver is kona the field, and he's not able to back out on that. Meaning, I can sell you a field that I don't yet own, and the deal is, as soon as I own it, you'll be the owner of it. So Amrav Mistava Milsa Darav Bisadistan. That Rav makes sense if you didn't identify a particular field. You just said, next field I buy. You know, when I buy a field, I'm going to try really hard to buy a field. And when I buy a field, it will belong to you. I'm selling you the rights to that field right now. And that works. But if I identify a particular field, lo, then it's not going to work. Why? Me, Emer Demazma, Le Ne'ale. Who says that the guy's going to want to sell me that field? I mean, once I've identified a particular field that does not belong to me, and I say, when I buy this field, it will belong to you, so pay me for it right now. I don't know that you're going to be successful in buying that field. Who says it's for sale, right? In the popular neighborhoods, people get knocks on the door, I'll give you this amount of money for your house. I'm not selling my house. I'm perfectly happy in my house. It's not for sale. Yeah, so you're not in control that you'll be able to get that particular piece of property. So Rava says that even though the Valukim, he says, Lashon Shmua, Amar Rav, Afilu B'Sadazu, Rav held that the Mecca Chizkayim, even if you say Sadazu, he says, I don't agree, even though it's Mistavra, that Rav would only be true by Sadastam, but not by Sadazu, but Rav happened to have said it, even B'Sadazu, that even when you identify the particular field, it's still going to be a valid Kinyan. How do I know that Rav said that? Because Michti, Rav Keman Amar L'Shmaitei, which of the Tanayim is Rav assuming like when he holds that you're able to sell a field that you don't yet own? Krav Meir, he's obviously assuming like Krav Meir, Damar Adam Makna Davar Shlo Baliolam, because Krav Meir is the Tana that holds that you could be Makna Davar Shlo Baliolam, and when you don't yet own the field, even if you have a really great chance of being able to buy a field, but that's a Davar Shlo Baliolam. Ditanya, now what's the original context of Krav Meir? Ditanya, it's the following Brisa. Homer Li Isha, a guy goes over to a woman and he says, Iskachi Li Lachash Is Gayer. Look, I'm not yet Jewish, but I want to do a Maisa Kiddushin now that should be Chal as soon as I'm a Gayer. Or, you're not yet Jewish, but I want to reserve you right now, Lachash Shetiskayri, that after you're Megayer, that the Kiddushin should be Chal. Or, Lachash Ishtachrer. He says, you know, I'm currently an Eved, but as soon as I get out, as soon as I'm free, I want to be able to marry you, so as soon as I'm free, Lachash Ishtachrer, the Kiddushin should be Chal. Or Lachashetishtachruri, you're currently a shivcha, but as soon as you're freed, I want the kiddushin to be chal. Leachashiyamus baalech, or she's a married woman, but her husband's still alive. So he says, because you know, as soon as you become an almana, you're gonna be snapped off the market like that. So right away he tries to preempt. As soon as your husband dies, I want to be I'm being mekadesh you for that moment. Or her husband already died, but she's a shomeres yavam. She's awaiting yibum. So he says, as soon as you get your chalitza, I want the kiddush to be chal. Or he's married to the woman's sister, so he's waiting for the sister to die till he's able to marry this woman. So in all these cases, einu mekadeshes. Meaning he's not waiting for the sister to die. He does the kiddush now. That should be chal after the sister dies. In all these cases, einu mekadeshes. Ramei Roman mekadeshes, but Ramei says it is mekadeshes because it's davar shelo b'liolam. So the Tanakhama says you cannot be kona davar shelo b'liolam. Ramei holds a person can be makna a davar shelo b'liolam. So even though these things are still not ba'uli olam, the kiddushin could be chal. Well, wait a second. We said that it's mistavr milsa derav. The idea that you could be makna davar shelo b'liolam makes a lot of sense if you say sadastam, that if you're not specific about what it is that you're acquiring, because probably you'll be able to acquire something. But if you say sadazo, it doesn't really make sense that you should be able to be kona davar shelo b'liolam. So the Gemara is saying, look, Rav holds, even when you say sadazo, you could be kona davar shelo b'liolam, because the case of Rav Meir of being kona davar shelo b'liolam was about this woman, about this man, about this particular situation. Va'isha kesadazo damya. When you're mekadesh nisha, it's highly specific, and we're still saying, Avam Rav Meir mekudashas. Rav Meir still says mekudashas, that you're able to have such a kiddushin. So you say that you see that even in the case of sadazo, that it is mekudashas. Now, we had learned on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that if you find the so that's the end of that sugya. So we learned Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis that if you find the shtar chov in the shuk, so we discussed, you know, who do you return it to, the malva, the lova, what the conditions need to be. What if you find other shtaros? So Amar Shmuel, hamotzei shtar hakna'a b'shuk. What if a person finds a shtar that where the lova is makna shibud nuchasim to the malva, and that shibud is chal no matter what, even if the loan never happens? That's a shtar hakna'a. That I'm being makna to you is shibud nuchasim of this amount of money, so I'm going to pay this amount of money, and if I don't pay this amount of money, you can take from my nuchasim shubadim, even if the loan never happens. Say yachziru lebayim, you can return such a shtar to the malva, because the malva has every right to use that shtar. Dimish from the cause of levels for the lover. What's your concern? That they initially had planned on lending the money and the loan never happened? Hashibinavshay. It doesn't matter if the loan never happened. He was mishabin himself, so if he's mishabin himself, he's going to have to pay for it anyway. Vimishum piron. Oh no, maybe you're concerned that he already paid it. It's already a shtar parua. Not that the loan never happened, because even if the loan never happened, he has to pay it. But maybe he already paid it. Well, lo cheshin lipiron. We're not choshish for such things. Dimisa depari mikrav akarele. Because if he already paid it, then he probably should have torn up the shtar. The fact that the shtar still exists is a great indicator that he has not already paid it. Some Rav Nachman Abba min safri de'ani demar Shmuel hava. My father was one of the sofrim in Shmuel, in Mar Shmuel's Beis Din. Vavina kabar shita kabar sheva. And I remember as a 6 or 7 year old child, that they would announce in the Beis Din. I used to go with my dad to work all the time. So I remember hearing things when I was a little kid. And I remember they would announce, Hani shtari akonosu de mishtachti b'shuka na'adrinu l'marayu. I remember them saying that if you find a shtar hakonah in the shuk, you can give it right back to the malva because you have nothing to worry about. So Amar of Amram afana namitanina, that we have a Mishnah that backs this up, that kol ma'isa Beis Din, any shtar that was mekuyim in Beis Din by Edom coming in, recognizing their signatures and saying that it's them. And Beis Din writes a henpicked, you know, it's an ishur on the shtar, hareza yachzer, the shtar should be returned to the malva, because the henpick is a mulchach, that there in fact was a halva'a, and because Beis Din would only write it if everything was verified and certified. So since at the time they wrote the henpick, the lova didn't make any macha'a at that time, he never denied borrowing the money, so it must be that he took the money that's written in the shtar, and therefore you're allowed to return it. But wait, shouldn't we be choshish that maybe it was already paid up? Yeah, we know that there was a loan because there's a hempik, but just because there was a hempik doesn't mean it wasn't paid up. Elamai, from the fact that we're saying you should return it, you see that we're not choshish for piron. Amalei Rabbi Zeira masnisin b'shtari chalteasa. The Mishnah is not talking about shtari chov, it's talking about a shtar that Beis Din gives to a malva where the guy doesn't want to pay his chov, and Beis Din is yorid the nechasav, and they assess the adrachta or shtar adrachta that's given to the malva, and Beis Din doesn't find any nechasim, and it gives them the right to be able to collect when he finds nechasim. Where in such shtaros, they're not assumed to have been paid up, because they're not shtaros that get paid up. They're just shtaros that give you the rights to to collect from his property. Amarava vahani lab bnei pironinu vashtari nardoi vahami nardoi shuma hadar ad treisa yarchishata vahamra memra anami nardar nasvili shuma hadar liolab, that a shuma, a karka that they assessed, could be returned up into 12 months or liolam. So vashtari chatas vahadrachta, it's also omer lipiron, because it could be that the lova paid up his chov and he received back the karka that he was supposed to that he was supposed to lose. Ela Marava Hasam Hainu Time. And the reason by Chaltasa Vadrachta, you return the shtar to the Malva, even though it might have been paid up, Tamri Iu Dafsana Nafshi, Dibina Dipari by the Mikra the Shtare. At the time, if it was paid up, when it was paid up, you should have torn up the shtar. Inami the Mikhtav Shtar Achrina Ilavei, or write another shtar, Dimidina Ara Lo Baila Mahadar, because Meikar Adin, the Malva, doesn't have to return the karka to the Lova. Umishim Vasisa Yashavato Bene Hashem, Udam Rabban Teader. It's just that the Rabban told him to do it because of Sisi Yashavatov. Hilkach Mereshu Dukazavin. So it's considered as if he, the love was caught of the karka anew, and he violated the Mechtav Shtar Yizvini, and you should have written a shtar for the sale. So Gabi Shtar Chov Maikel Meimer, Bai Shtar Chov, what are you going to say? Emisa Depari, you violated the Mechtav Shtar, if the Chov was paid up, you should have torn up the shtar. Emer Shtamut Kamishtamitle, Tamerle, the Machar Yivin Lachdash Le Sigabai. You wanted to tear up the shtar. The guy said, oh, I don't have the shtar on me, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Inami Apshiti Disafri Zayale, or he was withholding the shtar because he was waiting for you to pay for the cost of the sofer. So in such a case, you don't have such a reyusa that you should have torn up the shtar. But the shtari adrachta, shtari aklasa, then you have such a reyusa, and they should have, in fact, torn up the shtar, and that's why you could return the shtar to the malva. Okay, that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up at the two dots. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.